This time on the Fantasy Flex, now presented by Dynasty Football Factory. We're joined by DFF's own Connor Sullivan to discuss the Houston Texans. We'll also hit some news updates from around the league. Stay tuned.
And welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate, over on Twitter, at Miller_RotoDad. Where can the people find you, Brad?
They can find me at UGA Good on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat.
All right, well, we already got our guest joining us. Brad, what do you say we get right to talking some Houston Texans?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
All right, Mr. Connor Sullivan, here from Dynasty Football Factory, the Fantasy Flex's new home. How's it going this morning, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's going good.
Cool. So you ready to talk some Texans? You're a big fan, correct?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's. That team's got a lot of question marks surrounding it this year, especially on offense. The defense is pretty set over there with J.J. Watt and company. But that offense has made some additions to go along with some with a big playmaker at wide receiver they already had, Mr. DeAndre Hopkins. But let's talk about the man who's going to run the show there for that offense, the big guy brought in from Denver, now the starting quarterback for the Texans, Brock Osweiler. Connor, tell us what you think of this guy and what is his ceiling and maybe his floor for the upcoming season.
Yeah, so I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you brought up J.J. Watt. I think the Texans kind of realized that you know, he's 27 years old now, and at this point, they had to bring in somebody to kind of get that offense going. I think four years, $72 million is a little bit of an overpay for somebody like Brock Osweiler, but in terms of fantasy, I really like his value right now. In dynasty leagues, he's like roughly QB 22. I haven't seen him higher than QB 20 anywhere. And then in redraft, he's around, I think ESPN has him at quarterback 20, like Jay Cutler and Joe Flacco. And I like him over guys like that. I think Cutler and Flacco and the Alex Smiths of the world, they're fine quarterbacks, but they're safe plays, and they're not going to get you a lot of points. You know, you have somebody with like an Osweiler who has Hopkins at his disposal and a couple of weapons that we'll talk about in a second. And I think if you draft like a low end QB1, he's the kind of guy you want as your backup, just to give you like the high end backup quarterback.
Yeah, I'm fairly high on Osweiler myself. I don't know if he's going to make it into that, you know, 12 teams is kind of the standard in a redraft, but outside of that top 12, maybe even that 15 to 20 range, I could see him falling in there. As you said, he's got some weapons, DeAndre Hopkins, rookies at wide receiver like Will Fuller. Brad, tell us where you got Osweiler. I think we might be, Connor and myself might be a little bit higher on him. Where does he fall in your quarterback rankings in a redraft league for 2016?
Hey, you're not really that much higher. I have Brock Osweiler just outside my top 20 at 21, ahead of the likes of Joe Flacco, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith. So I don't think he has quite the upside maybe that you guys have, but I mean, as far as where I have him ranked, I think it's right in the same area. You're going to be taking him ahead of some of those other veteran quarterbacks. I think he's going to serve as a serviceable quarterback and will make sure that DeAndre Hopkins, you know, gets fed the ball. And I think he'll be effective in that system and, you know, and make sure that the other fantasy options are fed and are very efficient as well. So, he comes in right outside my top 20.
All right, Connor, as a Texans fan, I'm going to put a question here, a little bit of fun. I'm going to list some quarterbacks, and you put Brock Osweiler in this list. How about David Carr, Matt Schaub, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick? Where do you think Osweiler fits in that group? Not a very esteemed group at quarterback in Houston's history.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Schaub is probably the passions. You know, he led the league in passing in 2009, and he's a two-time he's made the Pro Bowl two times now. So I think that's kind of the ceiling for Osweiler. I don't know if he'll get there. I think he could easily be above Fitzpatrick or serviceable level. The Texans haven't had really any other good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and not David Carr, correct?
Yeah.
we've managed in this first little bit here to bring up Jay Cutler and David Carr. Brad, not our favorite quarterbacks, right?
Oh, most definitely not. Yeah, the name David Carr, it fuels a little bit of anger from the past for me.
We're actually bigger, if you will, on his little brother, right?
Oh, most definitely. Derek Carr definitely has. he's a competent fantasy starter. So,
all right, let's get in that Texans backfield. No more Arian Foster around there in Houston. It's funny that Arian Foster is actually in Miami now, and Houston went and got Miami's running back this offseason, Lamar Miller. Now, Lamar Miller had his moments in Miami, but they kind of stifled him, and that was, I think, a tragic flaw from those offensive play callers Miami's had the past few years. But, Connor, do you like Lamar Miller? I know our Brad's kind of high on him. Do you think he can scratch top five running back value in 2016?
I do. Right now, he's the number three running back in redraft PPR and the number four running back in Dynasty, and I think that's close to his ceiling, but I think he's worth that. And, you know, he was criminally underutilized last year in Miami, just 1,269 yards from scrimmage and 10 touchdowns. And for a guy who's played in 16 games the last 2 years, I think he'll stay healthy again this year, and in the zone running scheme, he's a great fit, and I think he'll have a great season.
Yeah, I think you'll get no argument from Brad on that, right, man?
Oh, yeah, most definitely not. He's severely underutilized in Miami. I agree perfectly. He only had over 200 carries once in his career. That was 216 carries in 2014. I think he's going to get a lot more than, you know, 216 carries in that run-heavy offense in Houston. So I've been touting it for the past, you know, 2-3 years even, free Lamar Miller, and it's finally happening. I'm stoked. He's just outside my top five behind Le'Veon Bell, but I'm probably going to move him up ahead of Le'Veon, honestly.
Well, Brad, you read my mind, man. That was my next question. With Le'Veon Bell facing that suspension, I'll put the question to you, Connor. Are you ready to put Lamar Miller ahead of Le'Veon Bell?
I think I am, just because, you know, when you look at the Texans' backfield outside of Lamar Miller and you see Tyler Irvin and Alfred Blue, it's not a very stifling competition. And looking at what D'Angelo Williams did last year, I don't think he's going to take that many carries away from Le'Veon Bell, obviously. The four-game suspension and D'Angelo Williams is just a combination that I don't think I can put Bell ahead of Miller right now.
Okay, well, what's the I'm going to give both of you guys this question. Connor, you first. What's the cap on – you brought up PPR leagues and the value for Lamar Miller. What's the cap on total yards of scrimmage that you could imagine for Lamar Miller?
I could probably see 1,200 rushing yards and maybe 400 more receiving yards.
Well, 1,600. He's going
to get somewhere around 50 catches or so.
Yeah, that was the number, over-under number I was going to set, actually, 1,600 yards. That's you nailed it right on the head. Brad, are you think Lamar Miller can reach that?
We are thinking alike. Great minds think alike. Exactly. 1,200 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns, 400 receiving yards, adding in 2 receiving touchdowns. Exactly my projections.
Okay. This is something I want to hit quick on before we go into some Texans wide receivers. Is there a relevant tight end on this team, Connor?
So I think CJ Fedorowicz is relevant for the Texans' purposes as a team, but in terms of fantasy, there's not a relevant tight end right now. If you're in Dynasty, the one guy I'd look to stash is Steven Anderson. He's like a flex tight end wide receiver out of Cal. He was Jared Goff's security blanket. He's got soft hands, and he went undrafted. He's not a very fast player, but he looks like he's going to make the roster right now, and I like him as a sleeper.
All right, Dynasty guys, keep that name in mind. Now let's do move into the Texans wide receiving core, and it's topped by one of the best in the game, DeAndre Hopkins. Nuck, not Nuke, for those of you that are keeping up with nicknames. Connor, DeAndre Hopkins, where does he fall on redraft or Dynasty rankings for you? Brad and I are pretty sold on him as a top 4 or 5 guy. How about you?
Yeah, I love DeAndre Hopkins. He's a top 5 guy in pretty much any format you can think of. I don't think he's going to, you know, manage to get the 192 targets again that he got last year, but I still think his floor is, you know, if when healthy, a low-tier wide receiver one, you know, like the 9th, 10th best receiver in football. And with that kind of floor, he's an obvious first-round pick in pretty much any format. At age 24 years old, he's great in Dynasty. He's just great everywhere.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I was very happy getting a couple of third-round values on him last year in redraft leagues. He really exploded beyond that value, making me happy. And yeah, as you said, we'll get into some other receivers and why DeAndre Hopkins' targets might go down a little bit. Brad, tell us one more time. You've told us a few times. How high are you on DeAndre Hopkins, and what's the highest possible take or pick you're willing to take him with?
Whether it's Nuck or Nuke, I think it's it's certain that he's going to nuke defensive secondaries this season. Yeah, he's in my top five, comes in at number four. He's one of those four receivers that I would take in the first five picks of any draft, any format. He's going to be a stud this year again. I mean, you got to love the upside with a competent quarterback and Brock Osweiler back there now. And then other weapons surrounding him now, probably going to limit and reduce some of those double coverages that he was seeing. So, I mean, yeah, the upside, I think it's there. He had 194 targets in 2015 and, you know, 1,521 yards and 11 touchdowns. So I could see him easily, you know, recreating those numbers. So, yeah, he's a stud. He's going to have a monster season.
All right, all right. Let's talk about some of those other weapons that the Texans have brought in, and basically a couple of them through the draft. Now, Connor, you're a Dynasty analyst for Dynasty Football Factory, so I'm very interested to get your take on Will Fuller. Give us a total breakdown of this rookie out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, so Will Fuller's a kind of interesting prospect. So the Texans spent a first-round pick on him, and they actually traded up one spot with swapping picks with the Redskins and giving a sixth-rounder away just so they know they assure themselves they'd get him. And he gets a comp to Philip Dorsett. Both guys are kind of seen as like maybe the runoff guy, like more of a football value, like in terms of just drawing flags and such, and spreading the field. But I don't see that comparison. You know, Dorsett was also a first round pick the year before, and he's also a burner. He runs a 4.25 compared to Fuller's 4.32. But when you look at Dorsett's stats, he had 36 catches his senior year of college, compared to Will Fuller's 62 catches for 14 touchdowns. I don't think there's a real comparison to be made there, and I think Fuller's being drastically undervalued. In a DFF league that I'm doing with 11 other writers, I just took him in a startup in the 13th round, 154th overall. And, you know, he was in that first-round conversation in rookie drafts as well, and he's starting to slide in the second round of some. And if you can get him in the end of the first round, you know, I'm happy with that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I'm a little lower on Fuller than some others that I've spoken to, but yeah, I think he's definitely going to be productive. This guy's a burner. He's a is DeSean Jackson a legitimate comp in your mind, Brad?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's got that real deep ball speed that will really stretch the field. And I think he's one of those components that's going to help that running game too. I mean, you're not going to be able to stack 8-9 men in the box, try to stuff Lamar Miller when you got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller on the outside, you know, with the capability to just take the top off the defense. So I think there's real potential in this entire Houston Texans offense to just, you know, soar this year. Honestly, a lot of fantasy potential.
Yeah, be much better than last year and go with that defense. This team could be a real sleeper, just in the overall terms of NFL standings and playoffs. Now, some of the knock on Fuller that I have heard, and I myself tend to agree a little bit, the propensity for dropped passes. Connor, does his Fuller may not have the best hands. Does that concern you at all?
I figured you'd bring that up. Yeah, he does not have the best of hands, but and I think we'll see a little bit of, you know, rookie growing pains, but there's opportunity to be had, and, you know, Jalen Strong is another guy I assume will be shortly. He had 24 targets all of last year. You know, Nate Washington, who's now. So there's definitely opportunity, and you know, we're going to see some drops, but there's going to be some growing pains, and I really like him in Dynasty, and maybe not as much in redraft, but he's definitely an interesting mid-round wide receiver.
All right. How about I'm gonna put this question to both you guys. How about Will Fuller over under 800 yards receiving, Brad?
I'm gonna go just under. I think probably around 700 receiving yards is what we'll see. He might have some touchdown upside if he gets the drop passes under control. Maybe 7-8 touchdowns.
All right. How about you, Connor? 800 yards receiving for Fuller?
I'm gonna say around 600. I think his rookie year, he's gonna be a little more sporadic, a little kind of he's gonna be unplayable in fantasy. Sort of, you know, 1 week he'll have an 80-yard touchdown. The next week he'll have one catch for 12 yards. He's just growing pains with him, and he's gonna be more, you know, an asset to the Texans than he is to your fantasy team at this point.
A best All ball right. candidate for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe a. And in my world, a little bit, maybe a sleeper in a DFS from week to week, depending on matchups. Let's get into another rookie that the Texans took in the fourth round, I believe. Now, it's kind of difficult to believe. Just a few short years ago, Braxton Miller was maybe a Heisman caliber quarterback for Ohio State. The way that shook out there under Urban Meyer the last few years, he became a wide receiver. Not overly productive, but he's kind of learning the position. Well, the Texans were willing to take on that project. Connor, how about Braxton Miller? Do you like this guy being an offensive asset for your Houston Texans?
Yeah, he's an intriguing player. My whole mindset to this Texans draft was it's almost like a fan drafted it. You know, the Braxton Miller pick in the third round, the Tyler Urban pick in the fourth round. Just kind of pieces that can be used in sort of like a chess type way that aren't necessarily stud assets, but you know, Braxton Miller is very unique. And as a quarterback, he had two seasons where he rushed for over 1,000 yards just scrambling and 10 plus touchdowns on the ground. And then his senior year, he had 261 rushing yards for one rushing touchdown, and then 25 receptions for 340 receiving yards and three touchdowns. And if you look at that week one against Virginia Tech, he had two of his four touchdowns and 23% of his total yards. So we were all enamored by that spin move. But past that point, he didn't really do much. He didn't show me much. I think, you know, he could blossom into something, but, you know, he's more of a Denard Robinson kind of, you know, I could see him throw a pass here or there. He's kind of a gadgety player. I really don't think he'll be fantasy relevant at all, though.
So yeah, he could be. I think what you're saying there, and I'm kind of with you. He could be fun to watch. He might give you a play here and there, but it's just going to be hard to predict it week to week for your fantasy purposes. Brad, do you have any thoughts on Braxton Miller and his ability to turn into a productive offensive weapon in the NFL?
I mean, I pretty much agree with what Connor said. I think Braxton Miller is more that gadget player, maybe like a wildcat type quarterback you could put back in there. You know, his superior mix of athleticism and, you know, his smarts, and you know, he's mobile and shifty. I think they could utilize him in Houston this season some, but that's not going to lead to, you know, fantasy production and value. So intriguing prospect, you know, maybe in dynasty leagues, just because of his athleticism, and if he, you know, works on his route running ability and becomes more polished, that maybe, you know, down the road he's, you know, a more consistent wide receiving option in fantasy. But this season I'm not seeing it. So yeah, just a deep league dynasty player for me.
All right, Connor, I'm going to put one more question to you, and this one just kind of puts you on the spot off the top of your head. For fantasy purposes, is there a sleeper on this Texans team that we should all take note of?
So I think there's two guys that, well, first off, it's going to be interesting to see how the Fuller strong battle goes. But then past that, I think, you know, Lamar Miller has been healthy the past 2 years, but he's played all 16 games the last 2 years, but it's been because he's underutilized, like Brad was saying. And I, you know, if he goes down, I think the next best guy is Alfred Blue, and I think where you can get him in Dynasty is super cheap. I don't think Tyler Irvin will be relevant at all, and so I kind of like Alfred Blue for his price. And then the other guy I know we talked about is Steven Anderson, just because C.J. Fedorowicz and Ryan Anderson and all those guys have just been god-awful. You know, the Texans were 31st. I think they had the 31st best fantasy tight end last year in Ryan Griffin. And, you know, if somebody's going to turn around, it's got to be Steven Anderson. So Steven Anderson and Alfred Blue would be my two sleepers for this year.
All right, Connor. Well, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Let us, before you run here, tell the people where they can find you, like if they want to hit you up with a question on Twitter or something.
Yep. So my handle is DFF_Sully. And then my MySpace. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have MySpace.
All right, Connor. Thanks a lot, man. You have a good one.
Thanks. You too, guys.
Okay, Brad, before we move on into some news that's happened over the last several days here since we were on air, let me tell you all about the all-new FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FanUp. That's FANUP. All right, Brad, let's get into some of the news around the leagues. Training camps in a full swing now, so that means injuries, some last-minute signings, depth chart moving. One that particularly piqued my interest, and that happened just a few days ago, Andre Johnson. I thought this guy's next stop might be Canton, Ohio. Instead, it's Nashville, Tennessee. Andre Johnson, the longtime veteran, 35 years old, 1,053 receptions under his belt, over 14,000 receiving yards. Does Andre Johnson have anything left in the tank for the Titans to use this year, Brett?
Honestly, I think the biggest value that Andre Johnson brings to that Titans team is his veteran leadership and his ability to help coach up these young receivers, you know, like a Tajae Sharpe and Dorial Green-Beckham especially. I think DGB and Andre Johnson have similar frames, you know, height and athletic ability. So maybe that's what the Titans are thinking, bringing him in. And also, I think he – you know, the signing of Andre Johnson, if it does anything to fantasy, it just muddles that wide receiving group in Tennessee even further. It's just one more option to spread targets around. It may improve Marcus Mariota's value a little bit, giving him another weapon to throw to. But, I mean, I'm not excited about it. I wasn't thrilled to see the news. Happy for Andre Johnson, obviously, you know, if he's not ready to hang it up, but yeah, it's, I think it just adds more questions to that wide receiving group and maybe, you know, increases the value of both the running backs, Murray and, you know, Henry, because they're about the only thing that's certain in that offense, I feel like.
Yes. I mean, Andre Johnson, like I said, read off those numbers, but 5 seasons over 100 receptions. I mean, the Houston Texans, the new version of the Texans, probably their best player ever at this point. Do we see him in going to the Hall of Fame down the road here?
Oh, I think he's got a very good chance to end up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you said he's had a very productive and very productive career and monster seasons. You know, 3, 4, 5 years of his career. So, I would not be shocked at all if he's hitting.
You know what's interesting here, though? Of all the big seasons he's had, he's never reached double-digit touchdowns. Is that going to change?
No, definitely not. That's actually a shocking statistic.
Yeah, it is. 9 is his top back in 2009.
Yeah, he's been a yardage monster. I mean, that just goes to show it. I mean, of how efficient he was in fantasy in years past to never have had double-digit touchdowns. I mean, especially being, you know, pretty much the only option in Houston. But, I mean, I think that just, you know, shows how inept that offense was in years past.
Yeah, sure. So let's go – now let's move on to a stay at the wide receiver position, but move on to a guy who's at the complete other end of his NFL career. Head coach Dirk Koetter. Yes, we're Falcons fans. We're not the biggest fan of Koetter, and now he's the head coach in Tampa, so that it doesn't make us any happier. But he's an offensive-minded head coach. He came out recently and announced that Adam Humphries will be the Buccaneers' number 3 wide receiver, kind of the slot guy, if you will. Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, the top two, obviously. They've got Austin Seferian Jenkins at tight end. They like to throw the ball to Charles Sims. But Humphries now emerging as he could be a contributor. And I don't think he's not a standard format guy, but possibly – in deeper leagues, you know, you start getting those 16, 18, 20 team, you know, monsters. Humphreys is the number three guy, according to Dirt Cutter. And going into second NFL season, last year as a rookie, caught 27 of 40 targets for 260 yards. 5'11", not really a big red zone guy. But, Brad, in a PPR deep format, do you see Humphreys having any value?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, Humphreys had a solid rookie year after going undrafted out of Clemson last year. So caught 27 passes, 260 yards, and one touchdown, and he kind of fits the mold for that, you know, slot receiver. He's, you know, shorter, not quite as big as your outside receivers, and very shifty with some good, you know, lateral speed and directional changing cutting ability. So, yeah, I could see him plugging in nicely at the three. So yeah, that just is one more reason that I think the Tampa Bay Bucs offense is going to be much more explosive this year. Mike Evans going to be the main benefactor. Obviously, he's not going to have as much pressure to carry the load by himself like he did last season. With there being more weapons around, he's going to see less double coverage, and I think Adam Humphreys is just one of those weapons that's going to help and make that Dirt Cutter sad to say system hum.
All right. Well, let me put one question to you here. Adam Humphreys, 40 targets across 13 games last year. Now, Charles Sims is a huge PPR value, especially in fantasy leagues. He had a big-time target in that passing game, especially on third down. Who do you think gets more targets for Tampa this season, Sims or Humphreys?
I still go Sims, but I definitely think this Humphreys news hurts Sims' PPR value a little bit. Doesn't make him quite as exciting of an option as he was before. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. But I have Sims over Humphreys slightly.
Yeah, and this isn't exactly the Saints offense with a Drew Brees or the Chargers offense with a Phillip Rivers where they just throw. Maybe Eli Manning and the Giants fits that description as well. Can Jameis Winston in a standard format, he's kind of capped at making two guys starters, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in deeper leagues, you can look at Humphreys as a flex option. But in standards, I mean, your wide receiver position has got to be looking pretty bad if you're relying on Humphreys to start in your flex on a week-to-week basis.
All right. And talking about Phillip Rivers and those Chargers moves us right into our next news update here. Stevie Johnson, the veteran wide receiver, was pretty much set to be, I believe, probably the slot guy for the Chargers, going to get a lot of targets and a significant amount of targets, not as many as a Keenan Allen, of course, but a significant amount of targets as a slot receiver for the Chargers. Well, he's often injured, and it's happened again. He has a torn meniscus in his knee that could cost him the entire season. If it doesn't, it's going to cost him a significant portion. Brad, now we know the Chargers brought in a Travis Benjamin. They already had Keenan Allen. I mean, Antonio Gates is still there, rookie tight end Hunter Henry. But the Chargers throw a lot, and if their struggles to run the ball last year, if they persist into this year with Melvin Gordon, Rivers is going to throw the ball and throw the ball and throw the ball. Who comes in to take the spot of Stevie Johnson? I kind of have my eye on maybe Dontrell Inman. Break it down for us in that Chargers passing game.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, look at last season with all their injury problems. Inman was one of those guys that, you know, stepped into that position to, you know, help the offense out with all the injuries. I think the main thing that you can take away from this is that's one less option that Phillip Rivers is comfortable going to. So I think it's going to lead to an increase in targets to Keenan Allen, even Travis Benjamin, Danny Woodhead, and then both the tight ends. I think you might even see Hunter Henry get involved a little bit more now, as well as the veteran, one of the greatest of all time, Antonio Gates. To me, I hate it for Stevie Johnson. I like Stevie Johnson as a player. Always enjoyed having him on my fantasy teams. Had some stock in him last year, and he had a few good games. But as far as what it's done for the fantasy options at the wide receiver and tight end positions there, I like the Stevie Johnson injury news because I think it just increases the value of the other players.
Yeah, and Tyrell Williams down that depth chart is another name I'm hearing about. I mean, he really didn't get involved too much as a rookie last year, but, I mean, he's a big target, 6'4", I believe, and Dontrell Inman, yeah, 6'3", an athlete. I was kind of big on him last year. He came up with 35 grabs, 486 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But you hit on something there that I think is the biggest fallout here. And Keenan Allen, are you ready to bump him up your rankings even further? I mean, could this guy become a top 5 wide receiver this season?
Oh, he already had that top 5 wide receiver upside. I have him just outside my top 10 right now. To put him in the top 10, I'd have to move him ahead of the likes of Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, or maybe even Dez Bryant. Probably need to move Brandon Marshall up after the Fitzpatrick, news, maybe over Dez. Jeffrey's injury concerns are about the same as Allen's. So, I mean, I probably won't move him up, but I mean, you can't argue with somebody that would rank him higher, obviously. So, he's a guy that I'm targeting in a lot of drafts, and I hope to have a lot of stock in Keenan Allen this year. Cause yeah, I think you look at the pace he was on last season. I mean, he was going to have around 1400 yards on the pace that he was on. So, yeah, he's he's going to be a fantasy stud this year, given that he can stay healthy, and I think he does stay healthy this year. So,
yeah, I would have to say personally, I'm definitely going to move Keenan Allen ahead of an Alshon Jeffrey, probably ahead of a Dez Bryant, and that simply boils down to the Cowboys' offensive line and the fact I think they're going to run the ball an awful lot. So, yeah, I'd definitely like Keenan Allen ahead of a Jeffrey and probably ahead of a Dez Bryant. Brandon Marshall, as you said, Fitzpatrick back in the mold there with the Jets, so I'll probably stop there. I probably will not put Allen ahead of a Marshall for redraft purposes. Now, in Dynasty, yeah, Allen is he's ahead of Marshall to me just simply based on age and where they are in their careers. But yeah, how about Travis Benjamin? I mean, do we like this guy more? I definitely like this guy more with Stevie Johnson injured. What do you think about Benjamin?
Let's see. Benjamin, he was just outside my top 40 at wide receiver. I definitely think I'm going to move him up now, for sure. The loss of Stevie Johnson definitely, I think, affects Travis Benjamin in a positive fashion. So yeah, I'm gonna move him up probably to the 35 to 40 range for sure. He's got some potential. He had 68 receptions for 966 yards and 6 total touchdowns last season. I had him projected at 700 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. I may bump that up to about 800, 850 maybe even, and 5 touchdowns.
Okay, let's move on to one more news item, and this one's going to be the running back position. A guy I didn't think I would be talking about, but there's a specific reason that I'm suddenly interested in Reggie Bush. The Bills made it official on Monday. He is signed, and he will be reporting to camp with Buffalo. And as people might be saying, Reggie Bush, he's got nothing left. Did nothing with San Francisco last year, but hold it right there. I mean, LeSean McCoy is not getting younger. He's had his injury concerns already. Carlos Williams facing a suspension. Is there a possibility, even if it's just near the beginning of the season, that Reggie Bush does something for the Bills and is maybe viable in deep, deep fantasy leagues, Brad?
Oh, I definitely think so, in deep leagues especially. Carlos Williams dealing with the suspension on top of being 20 pounds overweight coming into camp. We've had that discussion before. And then LeSean McCoy's injury history, nothing is certain with him. I definitely think there's a good chance that Bush can come in and, maybe see five targets at least, maybe even getting closer to the double-digit targets if he comes in to relieve McCoy on some of that third down work. And then obviously, if McCoy gets hurt, Reggie Bush may even see some carries, I could see them maybe utilizing him out of the slot. Because, when Bush is healthy, he's shown he's one of the more explosive players, of all time, honestly. So, yeah, I definitely think he's definitely a flex consideration in deeper leagues. And then given the right, set of circumstances, He could be have some flex option in standard leagues even this season, so he might be worth, you know, a late round stash.
Yeah, I mean, as is alluded to, he only got in 5 games with San Francisco last year, 8 carries, he got 10 targets. That offense was a mess from the beginning. But in 2014, I mean, he got in 11 games, made 9 starts for Detroit. Rushed for only 3.9 yards a carry, 297 yards, but he had 56 targets, coming up with 40 of them in that offense. And as recently, I mean, in 2013 with Detroit, 54 receptions. This guy's always been a very productive receiver out of the backfield. That's really where his game shines. Now, obviously, at 31 years old and with a lot of miles on him, he's not as explosive as he used to be, but yeah, I mean, he's got the experience. He knows how to get the job done, get open on the field, come up with passes. Yeah, PPR, deep-wise, I play in a 20-team one every year, and I may take a look or two in those late rounds of drafts at a Reggie Bush if for no other reason than in the first month of the season he could come up with a few targets a game. Well, that'll about wrap it up for us today. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions over on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod. You can now check out the Fantasy Flex at our new home, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Or if you prefer, all episodes can also be found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, when we are joined by another member of the DFF Army, Aaron Mernon, I'm Nate. That's Brad.
Gotta love that Chick Flex A breakfast.